Have you heard? It's time for Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by those crazy EE loving cats at eejournal.com. Folks, I'm Amelia Dalton, your hostess of this here podcast. Now, how are you guys doing out there? You hanging in? All right. This week, we're talking about 5G, SOCs, and BOCs. So let's start things off with a little news you may have missed, body on chip edition. So recently, there's been a big movement in the development and approval of modern drugs. But instead of using human trials or animal models, scientists are developing small devices called organs on chip, or organ chips, that actually recreate the functions of various organs. So with the goal of discovering comprehensive insights into how prospective drugs will behave throughout the human body, a team at Harvard's Weiss University has pieced together 10 of these organ-on-chips to create a fully functioning body-on-chip platform. So, body-on-chip isn't new. Way back in 2017, a team at Wake Forest Regenerative Medicine was working on this same type of research, which combined several organ models into one system. But this team at Weiss University of Harvard is taking this research even farther. So the end game for this research isn't just to recreate the functions of those 10 different human organs. More importantly, this team is looking to connect these different organ chips via fluidic pathways to see how the flow of simulated blood impacts the entire system, so that these body-on-chip systems could actually sniff out drug interaction dangers much earlier in the testing process. In order to do this, this team had to investigate two big things: pharmacokinetics, which is how a drug is absorbed, distributed, and metabolized and excreted by the human body, and pharmacodynamics, which is the way a drug impacts its target organs, which also has to include any potential side effects and the mechanics of how the drug works. So these organ chips are actually connected to each other using vascular channels that transfer fluid between them, meant to mimic the blood flow through the human body. And then from there, these Harvard scientists were able to observe how various drugs impact pharmacokinetics and pharmacodynamics. And then even further, this team also used computational modeling to predict how they might impact the whole human body. Co-author Richard Novak puts it like this: in this study, we linked the vascular channels of 8 different organ chips, including intestine, liver, kidney, heart, lung, skin, blood-brain barrier, and the brain, using a highly optimized blood substitute, while independently perfusing the individual channels lined by organ-specific cells. The instrument maintained the viability of all tissues and their organ-specific functions over 3 weeks, and more importantly, it allowed us to quantitatively predict the tissue-specific distribution of a chemical across the entire system. Wow. So if you want to check out even more information about this super cool new study, including what kind of experiments they used to prove the unique abilities of these body-on-chips, and to check out a video of the system in action, right? Super cool. I've included a couple links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com. All right, let's bring in Yorgos Koutsoyanopoulos from ANSYS. Yorgos and I are talking about all physics simulation, electromagnetic crosstalk nightmares, the challenges of SOCs for 5G today, and why Yorgos thinks sailing is a great leadership classroom. Let's go. Hi, Yorgos. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hi, Yorgos. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hi, Amelia. Thank you for having me.
Okay, so first off, for my audience who may not know, what is ANSYS all about?
So ANSYS is all about what we call pervasive engineering simulation, or in other words, all physics simulation. ANSYS is helping all kinds of product designs. That includes designs from large systems to very tiny designs like silicon designs or integrated circuits. So as we say, we support people designing systems for ranges that start from kilometers down to nanometers. Now, simulation ranges from mechanical, thermal, fluid, reliability. Very recently, ANSYS acquired a company that is helping us design materials throughout their whole life cycle. So it's simulation across the board.
Fantastic. Okay, so we're talking about specifically SoCs for 5G today, which I wasn't aware until recently, but electromagnetics can really impact our circuit design in this area. So Yorgos, tell me more about the challenges you're seeing specifically in this arena.
So 5G is a great opportunity, but also poses a lot of design challenges. For many reasons, it's not a linear evolution from 4G LTE because it broadens the scope and addresses a lot of existing needs, but also gives us a lot of runway to develop new applications for things that we couldn't even imagine. 5G in particular changes substantially the ecosystem, starting from the very end, from things that we hold and use every day, like our cell phone. So the capabilities of a cell phone change substantially, mostly in terms of speed and capacity that we have in our hands. But then there is a big shift, a big change in the infrastructure. Imagine the server farms and the cloud infrastructure and how that has to adapt to be able to process the amount of data that will be generated. And now we're talking about an exponential increase in the amount of data. So the traffic is going to be huge. And of course, the speed that has to increase as well. So by talking about speed, high speed and high performance on the backhaul, but also high frequency in the wireless connection up to our cell phone, that translates to high frequencies. So electromagnetic effects always existed, but in very high frequencies, they're exacerbated. Especially for cell phones in particular, where we have much smaller form factors, chips are becoming much thinner and they have to become denser. Nanometer technologies are more dense than before. So all these create, as I call this, an electromagnetic crosstalk nightmare. So that's why in 5G, we have to take care of that as early as possible in the design flow. And also be able to sign off our chips and our systems for electromagnetic crosstalk and interference to make sure that they function according to our spec.
Okay, so ANSYS has a new offering in this space, Raptor H, that's looking to solve these issues, right? Yorgos, what all does that include?
So Raptor H is helping designers to design their chips and their 3D ICs and take care of all the electromagnetic effects. It's extremely helpful in the beginning of the design flow when we are in a conceptual phase, as designers say, when they design their schematic, but also it's very important when we are crystallizing our final layouts and as we move to the final sign-off step before we tape out the layout to the silicon foundry. Raptor H offers an unprecedented capacity and speed and golden standard accuracy. We have tested this product across many different nodes, especially in very large SoCs. This is what we've been paying more attention to just because densities have increased exponentially, especially in 7 nano and 5 nanometers now, and very soon in 3 nanometers. But also the use of interposers in large 3D ICs more than more, as we've been saying, the past decade has become mainstream today. So we see more and more designs using 3D ICs. There are plenty of applications that require very high speeds, There is this new emerging need for SoCs for AI and machine learning. All these are very high-speed SoCs. So with unprecedented capacity and speed and very high accuracy, we try to address electromagnetic effects in all these range of applications with Raptor H.
So, Yorgos, I am aware of your HFSS and your Raptor X products. So how is Raptor H connected to those?
So Raptor H is kind of a superset. It encompasses the best of both worlds. It targets silicon on-chip electromagnetic analysis and 3D ICs. So it's mostly tuned for the chip design flow. The reason we do that is because this is the area we see the highest need right now, because the complexities are so high and the speeds have become so high. So it's a superset of both. It brings the best of both in one package and allows people to go from transistor all the way to the package and take into account all effects inside the 3D IC.
Okay, Yorgos, it is time for your off-the-cuff question now. I know you have a habit of sailing in Greece every summer. So tell me about that experience. That sounds like such a wonderful place to be right now.
So indeed it is. I've been sailing for many years. I would say it's now 24 years since I got my license. I'm not a racer. I'm mostly a cruising kind of skipper. So I try to do that at least every summer. So this is my break in the Aegean or in the Ionian Sea on the west side of Greece. Apart from, you know, having fun, what I discovered over the years is that sailing is one of the best leadership classrooms that I've ever been. It's interesting to have a crew of 6 or 8 or 10 people that could be members of a family or could be friends for years, or almost total strangers. I've had cases like that when people actually met on deck just before we left the port. So the challenge there is to help people have fun, but also organize the team to take care of all the tasks on board, but also face the challenges of the weather, sometimes human fear because of rough seas or because of the darkness during nighttime, so that they see only the beautiful part, which is, you know, the moonlight, or enjoy the nature and things like that. So it's a very challenging intellectual exercise as well, apart from being such a great fun to be close to the sea and close to the nature.
I love it. That sounds absolutely wonderful. Well, Yorgos, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Amelia.
Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EE Journal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EE Journal TFM. And don't forget, if you want to follow my personal Twitter account, check out Amelia D. 1978. And if LinkedIn is more your thing, well, sure, you can follow us and me on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can check out the Fish Fry archive and subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store and Spotify. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, even if your company makes it, send me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of March 27th, 2020, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.